Fighter,
fighter,
from
fire,
becomes
salva,
all
jagat
of the world,
nishtara,
deliverance.
Translation. In this age of Kali, the holy name of the Lord, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, is the incarnation of Lord Krishna. Simply by chanting the holy name, one associates with the Lord directly. Anyone who does so is certainly delivered. There's another text just following in the wake of this. Dātya lāgi hare nāma okti tinavāra jada loka bhuja ite puna evakāra. This verse repeats the word eva, certainly, three times for emphasis. And it also three times repeats Haryanama, the holy name of the Lord, just to make common people understand. The verse is Haryanama, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalo Naseva, 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 Dhirati Anyata. So, the verses which we read now are really purports of this verse. First purport verse is, in this age of Kali there is no other means, this is the translation really, in this age of Kali there is no other means for self-realization than chanting the holy name. And Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami then gives, like Prabhupada gives a purport, he also gives a purport. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami says, in this age of Kali, the holy name of the Lord, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, is the incarnation of Lord Krishna. Simply by chanting the holy name, one associates with the Lord directly. Anyone who does this is certainly delivered. And then this verse repeats the word eva, certainly, three times for emphasis. It's almost like, certainly there will be breakfast. Certainly there will be breakfast. Certainly there will be breakfast. And it also three times repeats Haryanama, the holy name of the Lord, just to make common people understand. And Srila Prabhupada writes about this. To emphasize something to an ordinary person, one may repeat in it three times, just as one might say, you must do this, you must do this, you must do this. Thus the Brihan Naradiya Purana repeatedly emphasizes the chanting of the holy name so that people may take it seriously and thus free themselves from the clutches of Maya. It is our practical experience in the Krishna consciousness movement all over the world that many millions of people are factually coming to the spiritual stage of life simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra regularly according to the prescribed principles. Therefore, our request to all our students is that they daily chant at least 16 rounds of this Haryanama Maha Mantra offenselessly, following the regulative principles. Thus, their success will be assured without a doubt. Hare Krishna. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Krishnaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deva.
Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare
Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
This verse from the Brihan Naradiya Purana has a very pivotal role in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. It is often chanted, this Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Eva Kevalam. And here the reason why there's so much stress on this Hare Nama, on this chanting of the holy name, is given by Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. He says, in this age of Kali, that is now, the holy name of the Lord, the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, is the incarnation of the Lord. And if you meet the holy name, if you chant the holy name sincerely, actually you associate with the Lord directly. A very vivid example is of this is Srivas Thakur. This has been described by Kavi Kana Puna. When he was 16 years of age, he was a wild man who did all kinds of unpleasant things, and as a result he got himself so much into trouble that one night a person appeared before him and said, "Hey, you disturbed Brahmana, you will only have one more year to live, then your life will be taken from you." Imagine you wake up one night in your bed and a shining personality is in your room and says, "Hey, you have wasted your life, you may have heard about Krishna consciousness, but up till now you have not taken it serious, and you have done so many mistakes that in 1 year from now, mark this day, in 1 year from now, your life will be taken from you." But become very serious. You know that there will be a fatal accident maybe, or you have cancer and it kills you. You know, one more year. So Shiva's had this awareness of one more year, and he thought, "How do I best spend this year?" And at that time he says a verse from Brihan Naradiya Purana struck him. He read this verse. He said, in this age of Kali, this verse said, there is no other means for self-realization than chanting the holy name. And it was Eva, Eva, certainly, three times, Eva, Eva, Eva. So he took to the chanting with all sincerity and made a serious effort. And we all know this, we have heard from his own mouth, it's in the Chaitanya Chandradayana, that after this period, when the day of his death came, what is today? June 29. You know, so the next June 29 came. You know, it's the day when I will meet my death, and where my life will be taken out of the body. He thought the best way to spend this is in the Bhagavatam class. Like you, he came to listen to the Bhagavatam, which was recited by Devananda Pandit. And lo and behold, when the time of his death came, he actually fainted. But not to die, but to live. He was given a second lease on life because he had utilized his time nicely. I always like to start a retreat with this verse and the story, because it tells us that it is possible to come to a turning point. And when you do come to this turning point and become serious in your spiritual life, then you can live eternally with Krishna. So it is my hope that in this course, which will be for 2.5 months here in Radhadeshdam, that all of you will come to this turning point. And then when we are then on June 29 next year, you will live eternally and spiritually. And some of you smile, oh, how nice of him to say this. This is a pious dream. I will never, certainly not have a new life in this course. I can see, I can read minds. I've learned this from my mother, who was or is very able to do these things. You doubt this. I know this because you're from the Hare Krishna movement. But it is true, Eva. Certainly, it is true. And you all need to find faith now in your heart, because only if you have faith in this will it become true for you. The Harinam Chintamani starts with establishing the truth of the inconceivable glories of the holy name. The work describes a sacred conversation between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his great teacher of the holy name, Namacharya Haridas. It took place in Jagannath Puri, most probably under the Siddha Bakula tree where Haridas Thakur lived. In this work, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Haridas Thakur to present the pure teachings on the holy name, and we hear that he made Haridas Thakur speak the truth. This Harinam Chintamani has 15 chapters which are divided into 3 sections which correspond to the 3 philosophical categories: Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy, Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. Sambandha means establishing the truth of the spiritual subject matter. Abhideya means establishing the practice, how to obtain the truth, and Prayojana means the goal. So in this first section, from chapter 1 to chapter 3, the truth of the inconceivable glories of the holy name is established. In the second section, the practice of pure chanting is given, and in the third section, chanting in one's eternal relationship with Krishna. I thought I'd say this so scholarly and most probably boringly for you, all of you, because we are in a spiritual university and we have to learn something. But I will now get on your case. My dear devotees, the entry into chanting of the holy name is not your bibek, it's not your beads, it's not your initiation, it's your faith. If your faith is weak, you don't enter the holy name, but you remain an outsider without any spiritual taste, who is desperate to find some happiness in life and goes most properly for material pleasures. Hare Krishna. The first thing in the spiritual school is therefore to establish Shraddha. Harinam Chintamani in Haridas Thakur, somehow he leans out of the pages of the book and he says, anyone who with undeviating faith takes shelter of chanting Lord Krishna's holy name, knowing that the chanting is the Yuga Dharma, the spiritual process for this age, attains everything. So imagine, you read a book, and all of a sudden, the speaker comes out, here it would be Krishna Das Kaviraj, leans out of the book and says, hey, Gaura Hari! Oops, yes, that's me, I'm reading this book. Gaura Hari, and he has a message for you. You would take it very serious. Haridas Thakur does this. He leans out of the pages of Harinam Chintamani and he says, you need undeviating faith, and then the holy name will give you everything. Bhaktivinoda Thakur comments how important this faith is. He says, when you do other spiritual processes like giving in charity, or like performing other deeds like yagya, ritual bath, chant some mantras, you must consider whether the time is right, the place is right, and all your objects are pure or impure. However, in chanting, you only need one qualification. Faith alone makes one qualified to chant the holy names of Lord Krishna. Nothing else needs to be considered. But this means also that if you have no faith, nothing works for you. Can you understand? When it says, the faith is the only qualification to take up the process, it means if you don't have faith, you have not the qualification to chant. Is my logic clear to you? Gaura Govinda, you are intelligent. You understand. Yes. Therefore, I need to tell you now something which you need to know. Faith. What is faith? Why is faith so important on this journey? Srila Vyasadev, in a commentary on the Patanjali Yoga Sutras, says, good morning, Krishna. Deep faith gives birth to virya. Virya means vigor or energetic endeavor to pursue the practices of bhakti. Faith, in other words, gives you the energy you need. For the effort to wholeheartedly practice bhakti. If you don't have faith, you don't have strength. If your strength is great, you have a lot of faith. If your strength is weak, you have weak. If your faith is a lot, you have a lot of strength, spiritual strength. If your faith is very weak, you have very little strength. Jesus says in the Bible, hallelujah, he says, but I want to say something else. Faith alone is able to move a mountain. Because what he wants to say, that you get strength from faith, which is important. So many of us have so little spiritual strength because there is not enough faith that Krishna is there in the holy name. That's why we get restless. That's why we get unconcentrated and so on. Now when you have virya, when you have spiritual strength, which is the result of what?
Faith.
Thank you. You know everything. When you have virya, you will have smriti. Smriti means a remembrance, an undisturbed mind. You will keep the goal in mind when you and remember the advice of the Shastra, no matter what happens in your life. Shishi Radha Gopinath Ki Jai. This is a particularly wonderful outfit is. It looks like a flower outfit. It's so really the extremely aesthetic and beautiful dress this morning. So faith gives strength to what?
Virya.
This is vigor or energetic endeavor or strength. Virya gives birth to
smriti.
That means remembrance in an undisturbed mind. You always know, oh, the holy name. It always is there. Smriti gives birth to samadhi. You can be undivided in your concentration. And samadhi ultimately gives birth to pragya. That means spiritual realization. You see things at that time as they are, and you can ultimately distinguish the purusha, means your soul, from any aspect of prakriti, from your body, from situations, from and so on. So this is the this line, or this spiritual journey is initiated by faith. The journey will take you to a stage of virya, spiritual strength, from there to a stage of smriti, where you remember the scriptures, you're not just reading them and making a bhakti shastri on them, but you remember them in all the phases of your life. Then you will come into samadhi, you will be always concentrated in your spiritual life, and then you will have realization, you will understand that you are not the body, but you are an eternal soul. This faith is very, very important. Without it, your life is miserable. Once Srila Prabhupada was giving a managerial meeting with his GBC body, and he asked them, "Are you convinced?" This is most probably the most important question the spiritual master has there for his disciple. Are you convinced? Are you here? Are you with us? Are we on the same boat? Are we on the same, let us speak in modern terms, are we on the same web page? Are we in the same movement? Are you convinced? Do you have faith? It's the entry point. You know, when Prabhupada used to ask us these questions, we would not so easily go, yes! He had something in mind. Most probably he thought he were not convinced. That's why he asked the question. So there was silence. All the senior men who were before him were silent. I don't think they were silent before because they didn't have faith, but it's just when Prabhupada asks you such a core question and he looks at you. I had this, Prabhupada did this once to me. I couldn't speak. I knew he is a very great soul who has so much. When he asks, are you convinced? He means conviction so high that it scratches the sky. So no one answered. Then Prabhupada said, I am convinced. And because I am convinced, I can push on this movement even in my old age. I believe it was His Holiness Shivaram Maharaj who said in one of his offerings of gratitude, his homage to Srila Prabhupada, that lately one politician came to him and said, do you know what it means to get old? He was still young. And then the politician said, your spiritual master was elderly, but he still came to the West and made this mammoth effort, this huge effort to start an entirely new movement in a place where this was not at all there. Do you need to realize what this takes? And His Holiness Shibara Maharaj said at that time he was still a little younger, but now he gets really old, you know, 60 plus years, and that is the time when your body just goes out of, you know, you lose one wheel here, you lose a door there. It's like driving in a car. Your wheel starts to roll in the southern direction and you want to go in the eastern direction. And you lose the door and so on. So much strength! So much more mental focus it takes in old age. And Prabhupada said, I am convinced. That's from this conviction of Shraddha. He got the strength which it takes to spread a movement in a place where people have never heard about these concepts. At least not when it comes to practical application of these concepts. I think some of his disciples had heard about ideas that there is a soul inside the body, but when it comes to live on this platform, we have no idea what this means. So much strength, it comes from faith. My dear devotees, all of you in your spiritual journey will require more than bread, more than money, more than even a nice dhoti. You will require to be dressed in faith, because it is this place, this faith, which will give you the strength which you require to move forward in your journey. You will ask yourself, well, from where? Faith in what? What should I develop? But Duryodhana Kadambini, that's one of the other guidebooks in our tradition, gives us the reason where you should invest your faith. Investment of your faith should be done first and foremost in the bhakti scriptures. You should learn the Bhagavatam. You should learn this scripture, Harinam Chintamani. And then your faith should be invested in a second place. That is the process described in the bhakti scriptures by which you can attain devotion. These are the two places we need to invest our faith in. First, bhakti shastras, the scriptures. Second of all, in the process which they give. Faith means a condition of the mind where the doubt is removed and where you feel a favorable inclination towards the object of your study. In other words, when we speak of faith, we speak of a psychological condition of the mind which may not yet be there in your mind. No doubt should be there, and then you should feel some, oh, I want this, a favorable attitude. My dear devotees, I would like to suggest something to you. I would suggest that throughout the week you are looking out for some things, meetings, spiritual experiences, discussions, readings, practices which will strengthen your faith. I'm really very serious about it. When you have faith in this, in the chanting, your spiritual life will go very, very fast. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, after a few days, you will have love of God. He speaks obviously of a lot of faith here. But when you have no faith, or little faith, you're just wasting your time. You may do so many things, So many wonderful things, but you are, as far as your spiritual development is considered, wasting your time. You have to address your doubts. You have to talk with devotees about them. You have to argue. You have to wrestle. I have heard that in the Bible, those who are Hebrew, to be a Hebrew means to struggle with God. That is the translation of Hebrew. What it means is that these people who were, according to the Christian tradition, close to God, what they did is they struggled with their faith until they had strong faith, because they were a persecuted lot and they needed to have strong faith. So in the same way, you are also persecuted, but this time not by an outside enemy. You are yourself your worst enemy. It's your own doubts, your own conditionings, your own attachments which are there. So Haridas Thakur now will raise a powerful argument why you should have faith in the holy name, that by chanting it you will get everything. Would you like to hear this argument? I invite you now to listen to this argument and to confront this argument with your own doubts. Are you ready, Gogovind? Now you are looking at me and I am looking at you. I'm thinking if I will tell this argument or if I will sell it, because I'm a little poor at the moment. No, I'm joking. Hopefully it's all right to joke in Belgium, but he establishes an argument in the first, the second chapter actually. First of all, he says that Krishna is the Supreme Lord, and from his God, from him come Paramatma and Brahman. Then he says this Lord is the Lord because he has three energies. He manifests three energies, which are known to all of you. What is the first energy? Ataranga Shakti, that is the internal energy which gives rise to his spiritual kingdom, the kingdom of God. Then he has a second energy, Bahiranga Shakti, which gives rise to the material energy. New York and such things, and this planet, and Belgium, and your passport, all material energy. And then he has a third energy, which is called the Jiva Shakti, yes, the marginal energy that is all of us. So he says, when we speak of God, he wants to first establish, we mean the origin of everything, you can say. That is his definition of God. And now he says, in God's treasure house, in Krishna's treasure house, there's nothing like the holy name. The holy name is the greatest treasure in Lord Krishna's treasure house. And now he wants to give the reason. God has a treasure, and the greatest treasure is the holy name. Now you can ask, why is this so? How should I believe it? And listen to his argument. The reason is because in the conditioned state, that is how we are now, covered with a body and a mind, we are not really able to see God, because our imperfect senses cannot perceive God. You know, he is made of a whole different substance. He is made of eternity and knowledge and bliss. And our senses can't see eternity. Can your eyes see eternity? Can your eyes see bliss, what it is? You can see maybe if someone is blissful, he smiles like we are encouraged. Here you are being broadcasted live. Smile. Hare Krishna. We can see a smile, but we can't see the bliss in a person's heart. We are not meant able to see even materially happiness. How can we see spiritual bliss and how can we see the substance of knowledge? So we can't see Krishna because we are covered by the material senses. Everything in the material world, comments Bhaktivinoda Thakur, is made of Maya. It's dull. It's inert. But by Lord Krishna's will, some individual souls are imprisoned in the material world. He speaks of us. They are the only spiritual entities in the material world. Now Krishna, listen to this argument, has assumed the form of his holy name and descended into the material world. Thus the holy name becomes the second spiritual entity in the mortal world. Only two spiritual entities are here. You, who are covered, and Krishna, who comes in a form which the holy name is a second spiritual entity, and your duty now is to make the two meet, to contact the two, because if you who have lost your spiritual life meet God, you will regain your spiritual life. If you meet Krishna around the corner, that's it. So if this meeting Krishna around the corner is possible, if you meet the holy name, if you contact the holy name. Thus, and this is the rest of the section of the Bhagavata, Haridas Thakur describes that chanting the holy name is the main means for God realization in the age of Kali Yuga. The means to attain a goal is called in Bengali upaya. The goal is called sadhya, and so on. There are many spiritual processes like performing rituals and meditating. They are processes to attain a goal, but they are not helpful if you want to reach the highest goal, love of God. Also, these processes are at fault because once you have reached the goal, your goal in the karma or jnana process, you give it up. I remember once Prabhupada was walking with one of his senior men and said, "Give me your arm. I need to cross this ditch." And the devotee gave Prabhupada the arm, and with the help, Prabhupada crossed the ditch. So when he had crossed the ditch, he pushed the arm away. The devotee thought maybe he had passed air or something, and was disturbing for Prabhupada. He felt, "Why is he pushing me away?" And Prabhupada said, "This is what is done in other processes. You take help, but only up to the moment when you have reached your goal." He spoke especially of the Mayavad, the impersonalists, who sometimes meditate about Krishna or sing also his holy name. But when they reach enlightenment, they feel this is not necessary. But the chanting of the holy name as a process is not like this. The Holy Name is non-different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is Krishna who has come here in this world to save you. And he may come in a disguise, but he has come by understanding this, that the sadhana, the process to liberate you, is the same as the person, Krishna. You will attain all good fortune. I remember once my father told me a story. One of his comrades had been captured by the Red Army. So my father, who loved his friend, dressed in a soldier's dress of the Russians, this means the Red Army, and he went into the prison camp. He always spoke Russian then, harasho, harasho, harasho. That's the only word he knew, harasho, but it's good for everything in Russia. Harasho means okay. So, harasho, harasho, harasho. He went into the Red Army and camp, and he came he said, harasho, and he pointed to the man who had the key, harasho, harasho. Okay, okay, so the man gave him the key. Such a good word, this harasho. And then he locked unlocked the prison cell, and he always said, harasho, harasho. This is his best smile. And then he brought out his German prisoner, the German prisoner, his comrade. So the Holy Name has come into the world dressed like a sound vibration. But he has come to get us out of our imprisonment. And thus, he is the only way. I will come to my end of this presentation. One Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur was asked to describe the difference between Krishna consciousness and other path. And he said, in Krishna consciousness, the goal and the way are not different. That means the way, they are both the holy name. That means the way, the goal is Krishna and the way is
Krishna.
Krishna, you know everything. Is the name of Krishna. These are the two, this is the speciality of Krishna consciousness, which is explained in Harinam Chintamani to great detail. Haridas Thakur therefore prays, O Supreme Lord, you were thinking how to benefit the conditioned souls in Kali Yuga, and therefore you have descended to this world in the holy name. You taught that Nam Sankirtan, chanting of the holy name, is the Yuga Dharma. By following this direct path of chanting the holy name, the conditioned soul attains a great treasure of love of Godhead. And then in Harinam Chintamani, second chapter, verse 79, he says, in chanting the holy name, the goal and the way to attain it are non-different. That's his argument. Krishna has come to this world in the most accessible form, the form of the holy name. And you need to meet it now. You who are spiritual need to meet the holy name. They have to come together. It cannot be here, the holy name, and you are here. Or you are in the Hare Krishna movement, you think everything is alright, you have enough to eat, and you have your work to do and your social recognition, but you have, now it's the work to meet Krishna in the form of the holy name. Very important, very important. I'm sorry to speak so strongly, maybe I have hurt some of your very tender devotional feelings. I don't want to do this. I want to make it a point that your faith in the holy name will describe it, whether you make it or you will just take many lifetimes and so on. It's really that important. And his argument, I hope to make it very clear, you are somehow spiritual, but since you are covered with the material energy, you have not so much access to the spiritual reality, but the spiritual reality or God or Krishna has directly come to you in the form of his holy name. I remember a very nice story in this connection, which I have heard long, long ago. It's about a beggar who wanted to see gold. He had never seen gold, and he had also no idea what gold looked like. So he came to this benevolent king, kind king, asked, can you show me gold? The king said, yes. Please watch the staircase here. Go up the staircase. And when you open a door at the end of the staircase, you will see my treasury and everything there. The vases, the swords, every item you see there, even the chairs, is made of solid, pure gold. So the beggar followed the advice of the king. He moved up the staircase. It was made of a foreign material. He had never seen this. And then came to the treasury. He opened the door. And he saw, wow, gold. Then he thought, strange. What was the staircase? It looked peculiar in English. He went back to the staircase, and do you know what he saw? The staircase was also made out of gold. But because he had not seen gold before, he couldn't identify the staircase as being made of gold. Only later he saw that the way which he took to come to the goal, that is the staircase, was made out of the same material. So when you chant, my dear devotees, don't make the mistake of the beggar, that you think that this is just the process. This is what many people of the yoga scene think. This is one of the meditation process. Yeah, very nice. Chanting. It opens the heart. It makes a little romantic feeling and so on. No, it is actually that you meet Krishna in the form of the holy name. And if everything works out for this workshop, we will show you Krishna in the form of the holy name today. If everything works out, we have to see if the magic will work. It's not the magic. I want to show you something in the workshop which will convince you how more. I'm not sure if I was successful in bringing the argument of bringing the subject of the first three chapters to your full awareness. The idea was that Haridas Thakur wants to establish the truth of the holy name because he will ask us soon to chant it in a very specific way. He gives many, many tips which we will learn how to chant it. And he first generates faith. Have faith in this. Have faith. And his reason is that Krishna actually has come in the form of a sound vibration to save us in this world. He has taken, so to say, I wanted to give you this example. Sometimes in war, people liberate those who are dear to them by dressing up and doing something to make them free. So in the same way, Krishna has come in the form of the holy name, which is his greatest treasure, and has come to save you. He has taken this name form. It's a great, great mercy. Just on a personal note, I always like to say this. In my own Krishna consciousness, I had come to a stage where I had lost my faith, actually. And I had made myself the German vow, if you lose the faith in Krishna consciousness, leave it and look for a God realization somewhere else. So I was really in a little problem because I had so many friends in Krishna consciousness, and I somehow had faith in Prabhupada. I didn't want to leave him, nor did I want to leave the movement. I was convinced, and I'm still convinced, that this is the best spiritual movement on the planet. But I didn't have faith that this process worked, because I could see my heart was full of material things which shouldn't be there. I was still young, I was still foolish, and I was still very, very, very conditioned. This was 20 years ago. I'm not saying I'm better now, but at that time I thought, okay, let me one before I have to leave by my own rules. Let me one time revisit this process and look into what does Prabhupada say. How can we make advancement in spiritual life? And I stumbled across one conversation which Srila Prabhupada had done with the German priest Pater Emanuel von Jungklausen. He is the head of the Benedictine order in Germany. It was very this order has been allowed by the Pope to worship. Pope means Catholic person, to worship by the Russian Orthodox way, by the Orthodox way. It's the only order who can do something else, and they are very open to spiritual practices. Also, they meditate and so on. But they are still all right. The Pope has given the blessings to them, and he met Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, "I have not come here to talk much philosophy. I've come to the West to ask everyone to chant the holy name and purify the heart and realize the constitutional position." In spiritual language, this is called siddhadeha, your eternally perfected spiritual identity. And he said, "Not come to preach much philosophy. I just have come to ask you to chant, purify your heart by this, and realize your constitutional position." So I read this, and I said, "All right, I have somehow faith in Srila Prabhupada because he has convinced me as a genuine spiritual." Soul, greatest soul I've met, and I love him. I'm his disciple. I'm averse. I'm a very bad disciple. But so let me now, before I cut this, before I couldn't imagine to cut my relationship with Prabhupada, but before I leave the movement for Krishna consciousness, let me just take him one more time serious. And I will now try to invest my faith in the chanting of the holy name. I will try to purify my heart and move forward. And I did this. It was a very conscious decision. It was like, okay, this is the last thing I do before I die. A decision like this. And I did it, and I can only say I feel really I made the right decision in this investment of faith. And I feel that many things in my many doubts have been clarified, and I'm feeling happy in Krishna consciousness. My only unhappiness is I would like to be a better devotee, but it will come. I know it will come, and so on. So this is something personal I wanted to tell you, and therefore I was very enthusiastic when we had the second kirtan course, where I was invited to again teach, and I gave my best to really work through my materials and hope that I can share the Harinam Chintamani with all of you and help you to grow in your Krishna consciousness and become just as it says in the verses of Harinam Chintamani, that you attain everything in your spiritual life and that you become actually happy in Krishna consciousness by this process. Good. That's all. Hare Krishna. I'm actually on time. I can't believe it. A little late, but I mean, only 7 minutes. That's nothing. Do you have any questions? Yes, Prabhuji. Your good name?
Günther.
Yes. Das hört sich deutsch an. Ist das richtig?
Ist
gut, Günther. Was ist deine Frage? You speak English also?
I speak English.
Very good.
My question, I don't know if it's going to work out quickly, but could you elaborate a bit on the differentiation between faith, what we literally need, and the blind faith, which is unwanted and might mislead us?
Yes, wonderful question. Thank you, Gunther. I want to repeat Gunther's question for the tape. Could you elaborate on distinguish between blind faith, which is unwanted, and the faith we are looking for? I remember a lecture of His Holiness Bhakti Vigyan Maharaj, where he spoke of fanaticism. He said fanaticism is the overcompensation of one's own doubts. I like this very much. Should I repeat it? Fanaticism is the overcompensation of one's own doubts. We do meet people who are fanatics in the name of spirituality. Maybe we are ourselves such people sometimes. It's as people who have lost the touch with the reality, and who go into something which in modern terms we call blind faith, but who do not develop the proper qualities. They do not change themselves. Their words are empty. Their eyes are empty. There is no love in their heart, no compassion for others. And there is no realization of the first truth which you get when you take spiritual instructions, that God is in the heart of all living entities. We just read Brahma's prayers, where he says that when you study from a son-like spiritual master, you realize the Paramatma in everyone's heart. And they are often angry and so on. These are people who have not really faith, but who just psychologically work themselves into an as-if situation, lose sometimes the essential points on their spiritual journey, and therefore come out as fanatics, as empty and without any realization, really, in a spiritual realization. This type is not good, but I have a surprise for you. So fanaticism is not good, and blind faith often leads to fanaticism, but not always. Sometimes blind faith is good. This is now, it comes as a surprise. It's good when it is placed in the scriptures and in the words of great souls. Then you follow them, the scriptures and so on. But you have to be aware that you actually realize things on your journey. Prabhupada once, he spoke about this, when blind faith is good. Blind faith is good when you invest in the real process. But you must be careful, so careful, that you don't go the road of fanaticism, where you pretend to be something which you are not, and you lose the qualities which you need when you are spiritually in touch with the reality, when you lose them, like serving everyone, being kind, being compassionate to everyone, which is the main dharma of all Vaishnavas. So blind faith doesn't always have to bring us to the situation of fanaticism. Blind faith, when it is invested into scriptures and into a process that, okay, I have not realized, but I invest my faith in this, can bring you to a very exalted situation. It's just like in my life, I when I was in this crisis that I had lost, really, I thought, this is not working for me. Then I invested my faith one more time in what my spiritual master had told me, the chanting of the holy name. But I want to caution you, when someone who's not yet realized, like many of us are, most of us, all of us, I mean, I am not yet realized, but some of you might be. If you are on this way, be careful to not turn into a fanatic who fights with others and so on. Be careful that you don't end where our modern civilization rightly says, oh, these blind people, these blind fanatics. Huh? That should not happen to us when we are on the road of faith. I would therefore not call it blind faith, because that word means something in our civilization which we feel difficulty with. I would say, invest your faith in the proper sources and so on, and see where it brings you and so on. And on this path, be careful that you don't, become a pretender and who overcompensates his own lack of realization with a harsh attitude towards others. Hare Krishna. Because I have. Maybe this, let me see. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna! Könntest du ansagen, dass wir heute um 11 Uhr statt 10.30 Uhr mit dem Word. Oh, sorry. That's not a question. This is a note. Okay. Is there anything else? Gaurahari.
I was wondering how important is it to evaluate one's own faith. Should we look at it time to time, see if it's increasing or not moving, or maybe decreasing, or is it important to evaluate our faith, and if yes, how to do that?
The question is, I will say, for the recording devices, because several devotees listen on to the recordings. How important is it to evaluate one's own faith? Is it increasing, decreasing, and so on? In the Bhagavatam, the Lord says that if you want to come to Krishna consciousness, you need to inquire directly and indirectly. Directly is clear. You're asked about Krishna and so on. Indirectly means, Gaurahari, you have to see about the obstacles in your spiritual life. And one obstacle is definitely when your faith goes down. And then you should see how you can develop your faith or increase the faith. I have a statement of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. It's somewhere here, yes. Once he was asked, how can we get strings? And this was all asked in the platform. How can we get strings? You remember, strength is a result of faith. Huh? And he says, when one serves the spiritual master with love and devotion, one may get plenty of strength in the heart. I have heard this statement often and applied it in my relationship to my spiritual master, and it has really helped me very, very much. In my spiritual life, I always recommend to devotees who are that they go to Srila Prabhupada, who is after all the be all and end all of all the spiritual masters in our Society for Krishna Consciousness, and they should also follow the instructions of their spiritual masters, but it should be done with What did he say with love? Let me see. When one serves the spiritual master with love and devotion, one may get plenty of strength in his heart. I know in Gaurabhavan, where we live, we sometimes hear lectures of Srila Prabhupada, and it has always helped very much. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur answers this question in general, how we can increase our faith. And he always says, it is born in the association of devotees. Especially when we hear amongst the devotees about Krishna conscious subject matters. At that time, Shraddha comes, Rati, attraction, and love. It will come in the heart. When you, Ramanujacharya says, when everything else has failed you, go into the association of devotees. Sit there and listen to them. It's a simple process. It works. It says when you feel, my faith is not what it should be, go and have association with devotees, and you will see all of a sudden, it seems to work for them. Why not for me? I'm not a black swan. That means an exception. There are only a few black swans. I'm also normal. I have two legs and two feet, and a head, and some brain inside my head. It can work for me also. This association of devotees. Satam prasanga mama virya samvido bhavat Sorry, I forgot for it. Shadha Bhaktira Shadha Bhaktira Yadukramishyati. Step by step, come in the, I know the first line and the last line. By associating with devotees, step by step comes Shraddha and Bhakti. Bhakti says, and then Prema. Shraddha, Bhava, and Bhakti comes. Yes? Alright. You don't have to assess your faith. You will know when you're a little weak. Very often your faith is weak. There's a very, very, very embarrassing relationship between our inner strength and our faith. And when you feel weak, it's good to do something. By the way, often devotees feel weak because they are too exhausted. The moment that you're exhausted, the brain cannot change, get a certain substance which is called glucose, and when there is no glucose in the brain, you are useless for everything. You have no endeavor. So therefore, the Kami scripture says sleep enough. The health authorities, because the glucose, you need a certain substance to be vivid and concentrated. Those of us who are spiritually very advanced, like most of you, they may not need to do it, but some of us need to be careful that they are not exhausted mentally, and that comes and there is, it's just a hormone thing, or some biochemical thing. Anyways, I thought to say this. I asked one very, very good devotee psychotherapist that I said, I sometimes feel I just don't have the mental energy to do what I need to do. And then he said, do you sleep enough? And I said, let's go to bed so late. And no. And then he told me what happens. And since I'm yet not perfect, I'm determined to learn this year at Radha Desh. So just go early into bed, bang, not read anything, although it's difficult. Control the mind and sleep, and then get up at the proper time. And then it's very important to get this. This was a personalized answer. Good. Now I will end. I want to thank you very much. There's a very short announcement, a change in schedule. We will not start the workshop at 10:30. Don't worry, it will take place. We will start the workshop. The workshop at 11 o'clock, and Manu offered to all of you to meet before the main door, maybe 5 minutes to 11, and then he will go with all of you in unison to the ecstatic classroom. Is it the classroom next to where last time? Good, to the main classroom, which is a beautiful classroom. So, see you all at 11 o'clock, punctually there. Have a nice breakfast, prasadam, and Hare Krishna.
Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
It's
always
Krishna.
Krishna.